Hello, Grace Church, and welcome to podcast number 5, as we've been considering what it means to trust God. Remember where we started, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. This time I'd like to begin with a question. Have you ever been treated unfairly? Well, who hasn't, right? Who hasn't been made fun of, or lied to, or lied about, or had something taken from you, or accused of something you didn't do? How did that make you feel? What went through your mind about the person who did you wrong? What did you do about it? Did you get angry and immediately begin to imagine how you might get them back? I remember as a young person listening to someone tell of a wrong that was done to them, and when someone said, "Man, that must have really made you mad." The offended person said, "I don't get mad, I get even." And I remember thinking, "Man, what a cool saying. I don't get mad, I get even. I like that." Well, it wasn't until the Lord gave me a new heart that I realized that it was neither cool nor the right attitude. It fell into a list of other sayings I learned were false, like revenge is sweet when its root is bitterness, and pride is a virtue when it's a sin that God hates. The Bible calls this worldly wisdom. Another reason revenge and vengeance aren't cool is because it's robbery. It's robbery because it's not ours. Vengeance never belongs to us. The Bible never encourages retaliation. But if it doesn't belong to the person who was wronged, then whose is it? It belongs to God. 3 times in the Bible you see the phrase, "Vengeance is mine," as God speaking. The first time is in Deuteronomy 32, and then it's quoted twice in the New Testament. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:19. "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Since vengeance is God's, then to take it on my own can only mean that I'm stealing it from God. So what do I do? I mean, what that person did to me was hideous. We trust that God will make it right. There's a phrase at the end of Genesis 18:25 I want to mention. To set the context here, if you remember, God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was pleading with him to spare that city for the sake of just a few. And at the end of verse 25, Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of the earth deal justly?" That was not a question that would imply in any way that God might deal other than justly, because that would go against his nature. Psalm 11:7 says, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness." Paul affirms this in Romans 3 when he says, "But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he?" I'm speaking in human terms. May it never be. For otherwise, how will God judge the world? In one of the messages I heard at this past Shepherd's Conference in March, there was a phrase that was repeated over and over again. I will never forget this. It goes like this: "This is our Father's world, and everything in it is for His glory. Therefore, He will make all things right in the end." That is what we trust God will do. I'd like you to listen to some passages from the Psalms. "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked." That's Psalm 3:7. "O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me and deliver me." That's 7 verse 1. "Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them. keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. That's 17, verses 7 through 9. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. That's 25, 2. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. 26, 1. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. 35, 1. If that was the heart cry of those whose very lives were in jeopardy because of their evil pursuers, what does it say about how we respond when it comes to personal offenses done to us? Too often, the response is anger with a plan for revenge, with the attitude that says, "You owe me." I've known people who have been angry at someone for their entire life over something that was done to them multiplied years in the past. The root of bitterness had burrowed so deep into their lives that now it's like the whole world owes them. Jesus had strong words regarding this kind of anger and bitterness. Remember what he said on the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder," and "Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court." There is a right time to be angry. There is a righteous indignation that we should feel whenever God is dishonored. But too often, the anger towards someone who's done me wrong is far heavier than the anger I should feel when God is dishonored. But there is something that every Christian has been given by the Spirit of God that helps us to trust in Him when we've been offended. It's the ability to forgive. Forgiveness cancels any debt that you may have felt you were owed as a result of the offense. And it makes this threefold promise. 1. I will not bring up this offense again or use it against you. 2. I will not gossip or malign you because of this offense. And 3, I will not dwell on this offense. The alternative is to lean on our own understanding by becoming bitter and vengeful. Some may say to me, "If you only knew what happened, you may not be saying this all so easily." Well, that may be true, but I think it's also true that any one of us could say the same thing. If you only knew. But we shouldn't get into a contest over who's suffered the greatest wrong, because the mention of one name should shut our mouths and stop all of us dead in our tracks when it comes to suffering unjustly. Jesus. You see, if you combined every single injustice done to every single person from the beginning of time until the end of time, and put them all together, they wouldn't even come close to the injustice that Jesus suffered. He is the only just one who suffered for the unjust. There's a question I read some time ago, years past, that goes like this. Do I hate my own unrighteousness more than I hate yours? And my answer is always, if I'm honest, not enough. Let's not spend all of our energy seeking revenge. There is no good reason to. In fact, it is sin. And the best reason of all is this. This is our Father's world, and everything in it is for His glory. Therefore, He will make all things right in the end. Well, loved ones, grace to you until next time.